listening to CJLO 6090 AM in Montreal.
For CJLO News, I'm Serena Abuljoud. On Tuesday, September 9, Israeli occupation forces airdropped a massive amount of leaflets on Palestinians in Gaza City, demanding the full evacuation of the region. This comes after Israel revealed it intends to demolish all of Gaza City in an attack to take down Hamas. The Israeli military ordered residents to move to Al-Masawi area, which is already overcrowded with thousands of displaced people sheltering in tents. Palestinians in Gaza City are now left stranded amidst the rubble, with nowhere safe to go, as Israel continues to regularly bomb the south. Health authorities in Gaza announced that they will not be evacuating Gaza City's two main operational hospitals, stressing that doctors will not abandon their patients. Gaza City is home to around 1 million Palestinians, and as of Wednesday, less than 10% have evacuated the area. Since October 7, 2023, Israel has killed more than 64,000 Palestinians in Gaza. Activists and coalitions across Canada protested in front of Canada Revenue Agency offices across the country between September 2nd and September 5th. Their demand was to stop allowing Canadian charitable donations to subsidize war crimes and the genocide in Palestine. Just Peace Advocates, an independent Canadian human rights group, released an analysis based on charity filings from 2024, exposing seven organizations for sending donations to entities deeply complicit in the occupation and bombing campaigns against Palestinian civilians. Activists highlighted Revenue Agency's failure to enforce its own laws, as these funds violate both the Income Tax Act and the War Crimes and Crimes Against Humanity Act. They still haven't taken any action against these violations and continue to make Canadian taxpayers unknowingly implicated in genocide. That being said, many other charities such as Mizrachi and United Israel Appeal did not file their 2024 returns. This is raising more questions surrounding the entire funding of illegal Israeli activities. The head of the Assembly of First Nations of Quebec and Labrador, Francis Veropol, is pleading for the Quebec government to drop Bill 97, an act proposing to modernize the forest regime. The new proposed system consists of splitting public lands into three equally sized zones. That includes one protected area, one area for industry to develop, and one area for mixing public lands with lands for development. Since the tabling of Bill 97 back in April, First Nations have been protesting against it. Indigenous groups and leaders are saying the act gives the forestry industry the right to complete their operations without consulting them, which threatens Indigenous title rights and sovereignty. They warned that the changes are prioritizing logging over the long-term health of the ecosystem, which could get in the way of the preservation of their traditional ways of life, cultures, and languages. They also emphasized their concern with the potential acceleration of forest degradation. Last week, Minister of Indigenous Affairs, Ian Lafrenière, implied that many changes will be made to the amendment. Minister of Natural Resources and Forests, Maite Blanchette-Vézina, who has been receiving backlash for putting industrial interests above all else in her new bill, said that her ministry's team of lawyers are willing to sit down with the Assembly of First Nations to make sure that all the terms and elements in the amendment that spark concern would be avoided. For more, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO News on Spotify.
All right, everyone, welcome to Love Actually Needs Work. I'm your host, Jade, and together we're going to take an honest and sometimes cheeky look at many ways that we try to connect, commit, and sometimes complicate love. Today's episode is Rings and Things, so it's our takes on a timeless question. Are we better off married or single? We're going to explore the joys and challenges on both sides, from the security of partnership and building a life together, to the independence, freedom, and self-discovery that singlehood can bring. So whether you are already committed, happily unattached, or weighing the possibilities, this conversation is all about unpacking the reality behind the stereotypes and maybe finding a new perspective on where you are right now. So let's dig into it. Marriage versus single life. Two paths, both full of love, but in very, very different ways. So if you've tuned in the last few weeks, you would have heard me mention how I am happily enjoying the single life right now. But today I am joined by my friend Maria, who has been diving deep into the married life for the last few years now. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Maybe do you want to just give us like a little rundown? When did you get married? How was that for you? How's it going?
Yeah. So I got married 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I've been with my partner for about 8 years now.
Right.
It's been going really well.
8 years in total?
8 years in total, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So like you got together when you were 18 then?
Exactly.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So like right at the beginning of university?
In CJEP, actually.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. Did you guys meet in CJEP? Is that how you...
Yes, but we weren't going to the same CJEP. So it was we were actually going to like these two rival CJEPs, and we met through friends. So
yeah. Oh, and the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
Wow, that's great. On the topic of marriage, I think we're gonna start off the show by diving into some of my hot takes. Maria has not heard any of these yet.
No,
so
I'm very excited.
So I don't think they're crazy hot, but I think maybe some of them are a little unpopular nowadays. Mm. My first hot take is that realistically, marriage is not always about love.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll explain what I mean by that. So I feel like when we think about marriage, most of us picture like romance, this grand love story, soulmates, the idea that you marry for passion and nothing else. But I feel like if we're really acknowledging the truth, marriage has not always been about love. And
definitely.
I feel like sometimes it still isn't. For most of history, right, marriage was like practical.
Mm-hmm.
Families arranged matches to combine land, wealth, or social power. Like love was very much considered optional.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice bonus, but not the foundation whatsoever. And I feel like even today, a lot of the marriages that we see are not built on that kind of movie style romance. A lot of people marry for security, financial
mm-hmm.
stability, even just for like companionship, potentially, this is not great, but green card purposes.
Uh-huh,
like
90-day
like,
fiance. Yeah.
90-day fiance, exactly. Or simply just because like society was telling you it was time and you felt maybe a little pressured in the
mm-hmm.
situation. And also just in some cultures, like being single past a certain age is like seen as a problem to fix, not a choice to celebrate. It doesn't necessarily mean that I think that these marriages are doomed. In fact, sometimes marriages that like start with these practical goals end up lasting longer than ones that are built on passion. But I think that's my hot take, is that they're not always based on love.
I mean, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they're always, I mean, obviously it's so much better when it is
a
passionate, it starts out as a passionate relationship and then
right.
it goes into marriage. But I think realistically, if we look at how things are going right now, I feel like people are thinking about it a little bit more realistically. And I definitely know a bunch of people that have decided to get married, not necessarily with love at the forefront of it all. I think it was definitely just like a very practical decision.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying I think that's how it should be, but it's definitely something that's very, very common, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think sometimes even in those situations where like, you know, let's just say for an example, it's an arranged marriage.
Mm-hmm.
There's no kind of love there at all. You're just getting married because you're told to be.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that love can be built
sometimes
within
it can
that
be much
environment.
Better.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, you know, passion, I find that passion is not necessarily a myth, but it's very misunderstood. Like, you know, it ebbs and flows and you
mm-hmm.
have to work for it. You know, love
yes.
actually takes work.
Thank
you, know?
You. Confirming the title of the show.
Confirming the title.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, I if you just get married or you have a relationship just based on passion, I don't know how realistically it
Thank
is
you.
To like actually
yes.
Flourish and like be a long-term
Absolutely.
Good thing.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just much like relationships work so much better when
mm-hmm.
Over a long period of time people just get to know each other and they build companionship.
Yeah.
They build a different kind of love. It's not maybe not the most passionate thing, but maybe it's a love that lasts, a love that, you know, it's just something that happens when you spend so many years together and you've seen the best and the worst and
mm-hmm.
you learn to like stick it out with the two people and then you don't want to leave because you've built something that's so beautiful, right? So
perfectly said. Perfectly said.
Right.
That I guess it doesn't lead me into my next point, but I'm gonna jump into it anyhow.
Okay.
My next hot take, this one is gonna sound a little bit more robotic than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in a marriage, financial compatibility is just as important, if not more, than emotional compatibility. And I'll explain myself.
Okay,
I'll explain myself.
Ahead,
so we love to think that marriage is all about feelings, love, chemistry, emotional connection. And don't get me wrong, these things are absolutely important. But I feel like my hot take is that in the long run, financial compatibility might be even more important because love does not pay your rent. You can adore someone, you can laugh with them and feel totally connected. But if one person is a spender and the other is a saver, or one is drowning in debt the other is hustling to build stability, every little purchase is going to become a fight. Money is not just dollars, it's values. It's about how you see security, risk, freedom, and responsibility. And when those values don't line up, every date night, every bill, every big life choice becomes a negotiation, or sometimes even a battleground. And we constantly hear about studies that are done saying that, you know, lack of financial compatibility is a leading cause of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But the irony is that when couples are financially compatible, everything else often runs smoother. Shared money goals create trust. Trust creates teamwork, and teamwork keeps the relationship strong when emotions get messy. So that's kind of my reason for that hot take.
What I will say is that the relationships and the marriages that I know of that are the least successful are the ones where the two people are not financially compatible.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something to be said about that. I'm just wondering, can it be part of emotional compatibility? Because a lot of the times it's just a question of open communication. It's a question of having an honest conversation and working the goals together.
I think for some people, it certainly can.
Mm-hmm.
I think speaking for myself, communication is obviously very, very important. But I think I would need to be on the same kind of wavelength financially with my partner. I was raised in a very feminine, strong, independent household. So I'm very much fine to be the breadwinner of my family.
Mm-hmm. That's very controversial. Yeah.
Which maybe that's a hot take. I don't know. I'm very okay to be bringing home more money than my husband. And I anticipate that with the career path that I'm following, I most likely will be anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's completely fine with me. However, I don't want to be paying my husband's bills. Okay. I am fine to pay my bills. I'm fine to pay our family bills.
Mm-hmm.
But the same as I wouldn't expect my husband to cover bills for me, I would not want to be covering bills that are personally for my husband. I'm not paying down his debt.
Well, yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, exactly. And I wouldn't expect my husband to do that for me. Maybe that's controversial, but that's just my opinion on it.
Maybe
so,
it is, but
I think if I had a husband that, you know, just wanted me to pay for everything for him, and he was just going to lounge around the house all day and everything, and he's but you make so much money. We're not on the same financial wavelength. I have my goals, you also need to have yours.
I mean, some people are just so fundamentally different when it comes to finances. It's true that there's nothing that you can do that will mesh you two together, but I would say that those people have no business being together.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because sometimes I know some people like that, and so I'm just watching them from a distance, and the whole time I'm just thinking, what are you doing?
Yeah. I don't think you should be getting married to someone if you're not financially stable. I think it's maybe a little bit different when you're just dating someone, right?
Mm.
Because your lives are very much separate at this point. You know, you have your life together as a couple, but your lives are separate. You're doing your own thing. You're not legally bound to anything. You're just dating, right? But then if you engage in a partnership for life, you're merging your families, you're creating a family together. I don't understand the people that just say, but we'll figure it out later, or we'll focus on it later. You're going to get divorced in the next 5 years.
That's when problems start popping up, right?
Yeah. There's no way. You have to figure it out at a time, or it's not going to work. Because I think love is beautiful, and you should have it, but it's not always enough.
Mm-mm.
Right? And I think more people need to maybe
acknowledge
that.
Especially in a marriage. I would say in a marriage. Maybe in dating, love can be enough.
Sure,
sometimes,
maybe.
But at a certain point, I feel like there are some issues, problems, hurdles that can pop up that have nothing to do with love.
Absolutely.
And everything to do with, am I with somebody that has my back? Am I with somebody that understands me? Am I with somebody that supports me? Am I doing the same thing for my partner?
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with finances. And you kind of have to be on the same page, honestly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I guess. I don't know if it's that much of a hot take.
Maybe it's not. I feel like some people are like, oh, but I get married and love is enough and it'll carry us through. And I just don't think that's true.
Mm. Yeah, rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, vision. Like a passion's amazing, but let's like sit down and be realistic for a second. That leads me into our final hot take for married life. And it's that marriage will not complete you.
Definitely not.
I'm so glad you agree with that.
No, absolutely not. I do not think people should get married if they are looking for their second half or my other part, or if your idea of love is that we're just two halves of the same whole. No, I can't. I cannot. No, I will never agree with that, because I just... unless you understand that you are your own person and you are responsible for yourself and your own happiness. And I think of marriage and as having a partner as a bonus to my life, as an addition to my life.
Absolutely.
I have to, but maybe that's just the person that I am, but I feel like all successful partnerships have to start like that. Because if you're just going in looking for something that will complete you, you're never gonna be satisfied. It's never gonna happen,
right?
Because your other partner, guess what, they're not, they can't read your mind. They will not know. Maybe you think that they can. Maybe at a certain point in a relationship, you're like, oh my god, we are the same, we are mirrors of each other. Yeah, it's a mirror. It's still not the same thing.
This is true. Yeah. You know? I guess I'm curious what you think, because you say when people start out in a relationship or in a marriage, they shouldn't view things like that. But do you think there's any point along the journey of being together that people start to view like the person as kind of like a part of them?
Yeah.
And do you think that's healthy or do you think that's not healthy?
I wouldn't say that it's super healthy. I would say you would have to have the discernment to kind of not necessarily take yourself out of that place, but to also always just know that, okay, right now, you know, like it feels like we're part of the same, and it's a partnership. It's a team. Again, you're doing different things. You're different, and that's where like. I feel like that's where like this gets lost in translation is being a team doesn't mean we're two parts of a whole. It's you're just doing things together and you have roles for each other and you are working with each other and you're doing your best to support each other. But at the same time, you will be very happy on your own. You know, you can do it on your own. Yeah. Maybe that's my hot take, you know?
I agree. I think this whole notion of like, you know, in a marriage or even just in a relationship that each person needs to give 50%. No, I think both people need to give 100%.
Yeah.
Like, because when you're each giving 50, then you're like losing a part of yourself a little bit. You both need to give 100% of yourself.
Yeah.
And then also like take it back sometimes.
Exactly.
So... without further ado, we're going to jump into our ads super quick, and then we will be right back after this. All right, guys, we're actually just going to jump into some hot takes for a second from the singlehood. So my first hot take is that singlehood isn't a waiting room. It's you're not waiting around for a relationship. You're not waiting for things to happen. You know, you kind of make these things happen on your own. What do you think about that?
I think this is very similar to what I tell my sister and how I tell her to treat, because she's just getting into the dating scene. She's very young. And I think at first she made the mistake of like thinking about it as a waiting room, just because she saw how my relationship progressed. And I was trying to be very careful in like not letting her fall down that path of thinking, oh, okay, I'm just gonna wait and I'm gonna find somebody, and then no, like I think you should just be super happy,
yeah,
when you're single as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people are like, oh, singlehood, you know, it's just this practice, right? It's almost like a placeholder in before you get into a relationship. And I think being single is just an important part of growth,
yeah.
Making friendships, opportunities, having adventures. And none of that is on hold. Like, your life doesn't start when someone chooses you or when you choose someone. It's already happening. And if you embrace it, it can be just as rich, exciting, and fulfilling as any relationship, yeah. Maybe even more. Yeah.
The keywords here should be fulfilling.
Fulfilling, like, absolutely,
it has to be, because, yeah, I mean, it's not like a marriage certificate, like a having somebody for Valentine's Day or whatever.
Right.
At the end of the day, it doesn't really change anything.
Yeah.
You're still you.
This is true. Exactly. And it goes back to, like, kind of our previous hot take about needing to, like, you're in a relationship, but also, like, keep yourself separate, right? Because you are not your relationship. You are a part of that.
Yep.
So don't give your whole self to that, like, entirely.
Totally.
Yeah. So we will be back in a second, guys. See you soon.
Hot Montreal is back for its 24th edition. From September 24th to 28th, come experience the best festival in the city, as Plateau Mont-Royal becomes lit up with shows featuring so many CJLO favorites like No Joy, US Girls, Chanel Beads, Isabella Love Story, Do Make Say Think, Hand Habits, Joseph Chabasun, and so many more. On top of concerts, join us for the Pop Symposium featuring discussions on all the music industry related hot topics. You can also check out Art Pop, Film Pop, and Comedy Pop for more events happening all throughout the festival. Don't wait. Festival passes and individual tickets for Pop Montreal are available now on popmontreal.com.
Tune in to Eastern Promises every Sunday at 8 p.m. with me, Donald Robert, as I take you through the latest and greatest music from Atlantic Canada. Featuring everything from traditional fiddle music to hip-hop, jazz, metal, as well as Acadian and Indigenous sounds, Eastern Promises will take you on a journey from westernmost New Brunswick to the furthest edges of Newfoundland. I'll be bringing you music news, tour dates, and some down-home comfort for all you Montreal expats. Join me as I curate a playlist that showcases the extraordinary talent coming out of Canada's right coast since time immemorial. That's Eastern Promises, every Sunday at 8 p.m. here on CJLO 1690.
Hi, it's Chapel Brown, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 a.m. My mama said nothing good happens
when it's late and you're dancing alone. All right, guys, we are back, and we're going to jump straight in with our second hot take for singlehood, being single. So actually, I don't know if this is that hot, but I've said this to a couple people before and they've given me some weird looks, so I'm gonna choose to believe that it's an unpopular opinion. I don't think everyone is actually meant for marriage.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'll explain why. So I feel like there's this kind of like socio-cultural story that we all know, when you grow up, fall in love, get married, live happily ever after. But the thing is like, not everyone is actually meant for that. And I don't see that as a failure. It's just reality. Some people thrive on independence, travel, or careers that don't fit neatly into a shared life.
Yeah.
Some people need space, solitude, or flexibility that long-term partnership cannot provide. And even if you find the one, timing, compatibility, or personal growth paths might make marriage impractical. So marriage, like we said before, right? It's not the only path to fulfillment. Friendships, creativity, travel, career goals, etc. All of these things can create a meaningful, rich life without ever signing a contract. And so I feel like the truth is that marriage is a choice. It's not a requirement. And I think we can probably both agree on that. But choosing singlehood can be just as conscious and deliberate and rewarding and just as valid as choosing a spouse. And I think some people, like, are very, very happy living their lives and not being married.
Like especially us girls have been so brainwashed into thinking that the only way, right?
But absolutely.
And that's probably why it's been like such an uncomfortable hot take. But
my mom isn't married, for example. And she's never been married ever. And she seems kind of happy to me. Like, she seems perfectly happy to me.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. And we talk about it sometimes. And I've asked her, like, you know, are you not, like, interested in getting married at some point? She's like, no, not really.
Well, some people don't want the... It can be limiting, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's also, like, I think she has love in other places in her life. So she doesn't... She's always been, like, very independent and everything. And I don't think she feels like she needs to get that from a man. Because she already has that from, like... her child or her dogs or, you know, people she meets in life, right? So,
and some people just don't like having people around them all the time, you know?
This
some
is
people
very
just like the peace and the quiet.
So true.
You know?
Like,
let's just say it, you know.
Absolutely.
The white picket fence is nice, but it's not for everybody, I don't think. Just like how motherhood is not for everybody. And
yes. Oh my god, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
Because I feel like especially in our current political climate nowadays, there is so
trad
much
wives.
Oh my god. the whole trad wife thing, but also
my
like
favorite discourse right now.
Yeah, but also in the States, you know, we see like women's reproductive rights being threatened for a myriad of different you know, religious and political reasons. And I just want to say it is always a woman's right to choose what she wants to do with her life and with her body. And no woman should ever feel pressured into getting into a marriage or into having a child.
100%.
You can grow old and be buried in the ground, never having a child, and your life can still produce so much meaning.
And I'm sorry, but it doesn't make you any less of a woman.
Thank you. Because I feel like oh my gosh, we hear the question all the time, right? Like, I'm not even going to get into it, but like, what makes a woman a woman?
Mm-hmm.
And so many people have this response that like, well, you know, it's like birthing a child or it's no, it's not.
And you don't have to be maternal either. That's
no.
also a myth.
Oh my God, I am not maternal. I have said since I was a child, I'm like, oh, I don't ever see myself having like children, right? Because I feel like some women are born with that maternal instinct.
Some are, yeah.
I am not. Maybe it'll grow on me at some point in my life when
I
meet someone.
I'm not sure if I have it.
Yeah, I just
don't know.
It's not instinctual for me. I'm like, maybe I can learn it,
yeah,
but it is not instinctual whatsoever. Like, I have never felt a single desire in my life to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like some women do, and that's perfectly fine. But I just want to make it very clear to any women that are listening to this or might listen to this in the future, you are not less of a woman because you do not want to have a child or give birth.
Actually, I would say it's even more respectable if you as a woman know this within yourself, because you do, and are not letting yourself be pressured. That
Absolutely.
Makes you a better woman, you know?
Yeah.
Why would you put yourself through a life that you don't want? Ultimately, I think we should all, as women, just chase our own dreams, our own way of fulfilling ourselves. And motherhood and wifehood is not for everybody. No.
It's not. Some people find that kind of fulfillment that others get from marriage and motherhood in their careers, in their friendships, in their just like family.
In their hobbies.
Just in themselves too sometimes. Like, you don't need any of these things. Sorry, I'm very like, the current climate of the world, I'm very passionate about that, so I just wanted to touch on that. But we'll wrap up with our we'll wrap up this section, I should say, with our last hot take on singlehood, is that this one I think is maybe a bit hot. I think romance is actually now outsourced and you don't need to obtain it from a partner.
Okay, elaborate, please.
Yes. Okay, so what I mean is that romance used to be very simple, right? It came from a partner, flowers, love letters, candlelit dinners, et cetera, all the classic gestures. But today, romance has been outsourced and you don't need a partner to actually experience it. So like, think about it, right? Your friends, they plan thoughtful surprises. They celebrate your wins. They support you when life gets messy. That's romance. Mm-hmm. Your community cheers you on. Your coworkers give you unexpected kindness. And even your favorite barista maybe like remembers your order with a smile. Those little moments are affection too. So, and also self-love counts as romance as well. Treating yourself, pursuing your passions, celebrating your achievements, that's all valid. A solo adventure, a spontaneous trip, or even a perfectly indulged night in can feel just as thrilling as any date. So, in other words, you don't actually have to be coupled to feel cherished, adored, or swept off your feet. Romance isn't just about a partner. It's about noticing and cultivating care, attention, and joy in your life wherever it comes from. It's also increased my expectations for men nowadays because I'm able to give myself so much. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing that a man could give me that I can't actually give myself. So I think that's my opinion on it because I get so much from my family, my friends, and myself.
Yeah.
That when I used to enter relationships, I was looking for all these things in someone else, right? And I was like, oh, I want to feel love from this guy. I want him to do nice things for me. I want him to get me flowers. And now I'm like, well, I can just walk down to the corner store and buy myself some flowers. I can go home and cook my own dinner. I can take myself out on a date.
It doesn't have to be a rainbow rose.
No. And the thing is, like, I say this all the time. I feel like I have more romantic and thoughtful dates with my friends sometimes.
Well, we had that conversation.
Yeah, than I do with a man. Yeah.
Like when friends, sometimes it just feels like friends are some much better boyfriends than actual dating partners.
Yeah.
And it's actually good because it's raising the standard. It's raising the bar because let's face it, the bar is nowhere near, like it's so deep in
the
hell
bar,
right now.
Yeah, it's not, gone. You no. can't see it anymore. I think it's just completely shattered and broken. Yeah. But what
holds the fort down mm-hmm. is us as women and how we show up for each other and friends and our family, you know?
Yeah.
And then if we can get all of these beautiful things from all of these other beautiful people, exactly. Why would I stoop so low as to go on a coffee date and have to pay for
my
own coffee?
Thank you,
know?
Thank you for saying that. I just, it's so true. Like, I'll give an example, right? Like, there was a guy that I was seeing not crazy long ago, and he ended up, like, friend zoning me the day that we were supposed to go out on a date. Right? Which is fine. I'm a big girl. I can handle it. But but he did it.
Behavior.
Well, yeah, but he did it 2 hours before we were supposed to go on said date. And so I was like, oh, man. Like, I was sitting there. I was like, I really wanted to go. It was a movie in the park that we were supposed to go to. And I was like, oh, I really wanted to go to this movie. Like, I'm so sad that I can't now because, you know, he's not coming with me anymore. And then I just sat for a second and I was like, what? Like, what do you mean? You can't get up. Go get a blanket, go get some food, and go to the movie.
Yeah.
And I went home, and I got all my stuff. I picked up, like, some takeout. I went, I watched the movie by myself, and I had a fantastic time.
Wasn't it such a good time?
It was so nice. And I walked home, and I was just thinking to myself on the walk home, I was like, you know what? I think this was more enjoyable than it would have been with him.
Yeah.
Because I showed up for myself, and I gave myself what I needed to give myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a part of kind of like outsourcing your romance is also being very like secure and independent and knowing that like if you want to go and get dinner, go get dinner. If people are not free, go.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need.
And this is something I've started to do with myself as well. I would have never gone to dinner by myself before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird that we're like this as people. We should just be totally comfortable doing things by ourselves. And I feel like now it's a little bit more normalized.
Right.
And it allows us to actually explore our own identities when we're doing all of these things. And
Because I can guarantee you genuinely no one cares. If you're going out to a restaurant and you're sitting by yourself, at the end of the night when people go home, not a single person is remembering the fact that you're sitting there by yourself.
No.
But we like jack it up in our heads and we're like, oh my god, people are gonna judge us, who cares, life is so short. All right. So those were our hot takes for today. I don't think they were too hot. They were kind of like medium.
Yeah, lukewarm.
Yeah. But we're going to dive.
Maybe hot for other people.
This is true. We're going to dive in. You guys sent in some questions over our social media this last week. And we're going to ask Maria as our married aficionado.
I can't wait.
Some questions about marriage. This one's big, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What is the biggest lesson that marriage has taught you so far?
I would say letting... okay, so I've always thought as a person, I never saw myself in a marriage.
Oh, okay.
Which is not something that you would ever expect me to say.
No. No, certainly not.
No, I never thought I would even get married. I always thought I was meant to be alone.
That's okay, too.
Which is, yeah. But because of that, I've grown up being extremely independent.
Mm-hmm.
As the oldest daughter, oldest everything.
Okay.
So it was very hard for me to trust somebody, to give that part of myself of trust to somebody else.
Right.
And to trust that they're going to have my back and that I can let myself be carried by this other person sometimes when I can't do it. So I feel like that was very difficult for me, just giving part of that control up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say I don't think marriage is for everybody. Some of us don't ever want to do that, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, some of us will never, will be so much better if we just plan every single thing in our life. And you just have to be okay with the fact in a marriage that nothing or most things are never going to go 100% your way. It's almost always a compromise. And, you know, a compromise is never 100% for somebody. You know,
and speaking
about lose a little bit every time.
And speaking about compromise, I want to follow that up with, what is the secret to resolving arguments in your marriage?
Well, if you're in a good partnership.
In your marriage specifically.
In my marriage specifically. I would say communication.
Mm-hmm.
And just willingness to actually put in the work.
Right.
If we have problems and one of us brings it up, we have to actually be willing to make a change.
Exactly.
If we're not willing to make a change, then we're not going to be working out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now we have some questions that you guys sent in again about singlehood, single life. The first one being that, what is the biggest lesson you've learned about yourself while being single? I think I'll answer it first, so then maybe we'll jump back to Maria to see if she can remember before she was single what she learned about herself. Yeah, I know. I think for me, I learned to be very, very like genuinely independent. Mm-hmm. I think I was raised in it, like I said, a very like independent, strong female household. And for most years of my life, I kind of paraded around the world like I was very strong and independent and confident, but I very much was not.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very insecure, and I was searching for validation in men for many, many years of my life. And I think when I moved here about 3.5 years ago now, and I've been pretty much single. Like, I haven't been in a relationship since I've been here. So I consider that single. Since I've been living here, it's really taught me to actually, like, love myself and to, you know, take pride in who I am and how strong I can be. And I think that over the last couple of years, I've actually grown into a person who, like, has her moments and everything for sure, but overall is very secure, is very confident, is very independent. And, you know, I would love to find a partner, but I'm also okay if I have to, like, wait a while because I'm not willing to settle for someone who is not up to my standards of what I want in a partner to share my life with. And I think if you had spoken to Jade, like, even 5 years ago, she would have just latched on to whoever showed her like affection or attention.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably the biggest lesson that I've learned about myself being single. Yeah. And I think that's why I like being single so much. Because kind of like how you were saying, you never thought you were going to get married because it was really hard to, you know, give up that trust and kind of control over your life to someone else. That's very much how I'm feeling right now, because I'm like, oh, I actually like where I'm at so much, and I don't want that to change.
Such a big sacrifice.
Exactly. It is, right? Mm. And I feel like people don't talk about that. Like, let's use the word. It's a sacrifice. You're sacrificing a part of yourself to, like, make the choice to love someone.
Exactly. And you have to be willing to do that.
Yeah.
And if you're not, and if your partner is not as well, then, you know, what are we here for?
Absolutely.
I think for me, similarly to you, was, I guess, it was right before I met my partner, but in the period, a couple months before I met him, I truly learned how to have fun.
Right.
Because I feel like I never had fun before. I was always, there was always something that was pulling me back.
Uh-huh.
And I always had to do something with boys too.
Okay.
And then when I let that go, and I was just like, who cares? Mm-hmm. Just have fun. Like, enjoy the moment. Go out if you want to. Do this if you want to. Who cares if it's uncool? Who cares if it's nerdy? Who cares if people are going to think of you a certain way?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was, like, the most liberating thing. And it's just when you radiate this happiness, that's, like, I don't know. I feel like that's even, like, what contributed to us kind of finding each other as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You need to be secure within yourself before you can find someone else. And if you're not, then you're going to attract the wrong people, which is something that we obviously do not want to do. Our next question that was set in, and we'll make this our last one, is, do you enjoy casual dating, or do you prefer being fully independent? I personally prefer being fully independent, because I am not a casual dater. I have tried, and I know this about myself, is that I'm very intentional when I date. And if through these intentions, I have decided that I actually like you and I want to, like, pursue you and spend more time with you, I get very emotionally invested. And so because of those reasons, I know myself that I cannot be a casual dater, and I don't want to either.
Yeah.
Very much a relationship person. Like, the next person that I, you know, am with, I want that to be in a relationship. I'm not just dating you to, like, you know,
see,
date you.
Goes.
Yeah, no, like, I'm not a go with the flow person. I know what I want, and you're either that for me or you're not. And if you're not, that's okay. Then goodbye. And if you are, great. Let's, like, work on this.
Yeah.
So I think that's me. Obviously, you are in a marriage now, but if you can remember past Maria,
no.
Not a casual dater.
Not a casual dater.
Okay.
Very much not. I it's such a waste of my time. I thought it would have been a waste of my time, and I do not like wasting my time with people. Like,
No.
I
don't understand, because I know a lot of people and a lot of my friends that, like, casually date as well, right?
But it's fine if you are looking for, like, just fun.
But
and
I don't
you
even
have to have a certain
that.
Type of personality too.
I
you
think
have
you
to
really
be, like,
do.
A very go with the flow person.
Mm-hmm.
No, I am very much not. And I do get invested emotionally a lot.
Yeah.
So it would, even if I would have lied to myself and been like, yeah, we can do a casual thing. No, it would have ruined my life.
Yeah.
I would have been crying all the time. So no.
All right, guys, we are going to jump into ads real quick, and then we will be back after this.
Montreal's Tiniest Festival is back for its fifth edition. Tiny Fest, presented by Worst Dad Ever and CGLO 1690 AM, is taking over Petit Ars, Casa del Popolo, La Sala Rosa, and La Sotraneo from October 2nd to 4th. Come on out to see your favorite bands from Montreal and beyond, such as Pool Girl, Gus Englehorn, Clay Pigeon, HRT, and so many more. Festival passes and individual show tickets are available for purchase now. For more information, check out worst.ever on Facebook and worst.ever_ on Instagram. See you there!
For the best new music from around the globe, with a respectful nod to the musical pioneers of the past and a whole lot more, join me, Danny Payne, on The Pressure Drop every Monday at 5 on CGLO 1690 AM or CGLO.com.
Hey, it's Fireball Kid, and you're listening to CGLO 1698.
All right, guys, we are back, and we did an audience poll over the last week on our Instagram to ask people, what are you looking for in your life, right? Are you looking for a marriage? Are you looking to just enjoy your singlehood, or are you undecided? And I thought the responses were kind of interesting because 27% of people preferred being single, while marriage and the notion of just being undecided were actually tied at 36%. Which I was surprised because I want to say that the demographic of people that responded are between the ages of like 20 and 25. And it was a decent mix of like women and men actually, but I didn't think that being undecided was going to be higher than being single. So I was surprised to hear that for sure. I feel like these days it seems like more and more people are not rushing to pick a side, marriage or singlehood. And honestly, I mean, like, who can blame them? You know, life is longer, careers are more demanding, social norms are shifting, and love, well, you know, love itself has changed a lot. And many people are just kind of sitting in this in-between space, figuring out who they are, what they want, and how a relationship or the absence of one fits into that. Some are delaying marriage, not because they don't believe in it, but because they want to be ready for the real work it requires. Mm-hmm. Love actually needs work, guys. And others are embracing singlehood fully, seeing it as a chance to grow, explore, and live without compromise. But I think the truth is that indecision is not a flaw. It's a reflection of choice. It's about acknowledging that love, commitment, and happiness don't actually have a one-size-fits-all answer anymore. And maybe the healthiest approach is to give yourself permission to be undecided or to live fully in the present and to let your path unfold naturally, whether that leads to a ring, a solo adventure, or somewhere in between. Oh my gosh, guys. But I really want to focus on this idea that love is very manufactured nowadays. And we're back into the hot takes, I don't know. But maybe what I mean by this is that people don't just let their path unfold naturally. They try to go out and find it.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're on the dating apps. Or I've seen TikToks of, you know, women and men getting dressed out and they're like, oh, I'm going out and I'm gonna find my husband or I'm gonna find my wife. This is not realistic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this takes away from like the romance and the passion of it all. Like if I'm going out and I'm looking for someone, yeah, and I don't find them, I'm gonna be so disappointed. Versus if I go out and it doesn't happen, I could care less.
Yeah.
But if I go and it happens, great. But I feel like when you look for something and you don't find it, which if we're being real, a lot of the time when you are looking for something, you are not going to find it.
Yeah.
And as a single person, I have been so annoyed when people have said this to me over and over and over again. Well, as soon as you stop looking for it, it'll find you. Like, close my eyes and put duct tape around my head because where is it, right? But it's true. It's true. When you don't look for something, it's going to pop up. It's like the equivalent of I need to get a sweater and all through fall I'll see the sweater that I want, but the week that I'm actually looking for that sweater, it's going to be nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Life is weird like that sometimes. I don't know
or it
what.
Could be like the targeted ads.
That too.
It just like keeps
that
showing
too.
Up, but it's not what you want.
Exactly.
Right? It's not what you need.
Yeah. I don't know. What's your opinion on like the manufacturedness of love nowadays?
I don't think that you're going to find what you actually need. Each person is so inherently different,
right,
that if we're trying to force ourselves into these boxes and into these very specific ways of doing things,
mm-hmm,
it's never gonna be a one size fits all, and it's never gonna happen like that. Yes, like if you stop forcing it, if it needs to happen and if it comes into it naturally, then it will just come into it naturally. I agree with you. I don't like the manufactured.
Yeah.
And I've fallen into that trap, so I can say it's not a fun
place. Oh, absolutely.
It's
same
not,
here.
Not a fun place to be in.
No, it's not.
It's actually, yeah, it's desperately, I don't even know. It's not.
Yeah, there's no word for it really. But I think I'm confused with people that say they're undecided, mm-hmm. right? Because I think even if you're choosing to not engage in something, you should know what you want at a current point in your life in terms of a relationship, and whether that is that you want to have a relationship with yourself and you just yeah. want to focus on you, or are you ready to be open to the yeah. possibility of it, or do you fully like want to commit to finding that?
I just don't know if it's a bad thing necessarily when people say that they're undecided, because I'm thinking, you know, if we're thinking about it, like the sacrifice that if you're willing to do it, I just don't think that, you know, I said that love is a sacrifice, and in a marriage it's a sacrifice.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You're always going to have to give something of yours.
Right.
In order to be able to have it. But I also have to say that I don't think you should just give it out to anybody. I think you only should be willing to give it out when you truly find what you think is mm-hmm. what's going to work for you.
Yeah.
So if we're thinking about it this way, I actually being undecided doesn't sound too bad. You know, maybe they're just thinking, okay, if the right person comes along, maybe I will give it a shot. But now I haven't seen it. I haven't experienced it. So I don't know how am I supposed to know how I'm going to act and how something's going to go if I've never experienced it.
Right. I think for me, my thought process on that is if you're confused, then the answer is no.
It's no, yeah. If it's not 100% yes, it's no.
It's 100% no, exactly. Yeah. So for me, like, and there's definitely moments where I've been in a situation where I was like, oh, I'm actually not entirely sure if I want to be in a relationship, or if I just, do I even want to go on dates? Do I even want to, like, talk to men or whatever, right? But then I think now I look back and realize, like, oh, I actually just wanted to be single.
It's so much better to just be single.
Well, it is, right?
In a situation where it's not 100% good.
But then that's why I'm curious about this kind of undecided section. Because for me, if you don't know that you want to be in a marriage, totally fine and super reasonable, right? Or if you don't know if you want to be in a relationship, also amazing.
Yeah.
But then if you don't want those things, the default setting is to be single for the current point in time.
Yeah.
And being single, I just want to clarify, it does not mean that you are shut off or closed to the possibilities of, like, engaging in a relationship. It can mean that, but it doesn't always mean that.
Yeah.
So I think with this undecided factor that we saw in our poll, I was surprised to see that so many people are undecided.
Maybe some people understood it as, 'cause the choices were single, married, or undecided. Maybe some people just aren't into the marriage part. Maybe they're into
totally
the relationship
valid.
Part, but not the legality of it, you know? Not
this is true.
And that's fine, too. You know, it's so many good relationships are just lifelong partners, and they're not married. So.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah. All right, guys, we are almost done for today. And I want to say thank you to Maria for coming on and giving us all your insights into marriage.
Thank you so much, Jade.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. But before we wrap up officially, I want to finish the episode with like one kind of last question that on your whole journey, being single in a relationship, getting married, like what is one piece of advice that you would give to young women out there today about just like everything relationship related, being themselves, you know? Yeah.
So I thought about this in the last few days, you know?
Oh, I'm glad. Perfect timing.
Yeah. And I would say, do not get into a marriage unless you have found somebody that respects you. 100%, unless you know that this person would lay down all of their armors, all of their weapons, and that they want you to have your dream life, and you want them to have your dream life, and you're willing to build it together. If it's not that, you don't want it.
Thank you. That can apply to like a relationship as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of 100%. You know.
be a Conrad, don't be a Jeremiah.
Totally.
Thank you. For anyone that watches The Summer I Turn Pretty, we want to be a Conrad. We don't want to be a Jeremiah.
And
I don't want to hear.
Please remember, if he wanted to,
he would. This is so true. If he wanted to, he would, guys. So yeah, that is a wrap for today's episode of Love Actually Needs Work, where we have navigated the tricky waters of marriage, singlehood, and all the moments in between. So those times when you're not quite sure what you want or who you want to be with, and whether you're thriving solo, thriving as a couple, or if you're still figuring it all out, the truth is there is no one-size-fits-all roadmap for love. Sometimes it's about partnership, sometimes it's about independence, and sometimes it's really just about taking the time to understand yourself first. We need to take more time to live and love whatever looks, you know, whatever that looks like for you. Because it's different for everybody, truly. And with that being said, we've kind of come to a close for this week's episode. So be sure to check out our Instagram at Love Actually Needs Work. And you can also check out, I just posted a new article on our blog, which you can find the link for in our link tree in the Insta bio. And I'll give you guys a sneak peek into the article because we have a little bit of time. It was called Ghosted and Unbothered. And Maria's laughing because she saw me writing this in a class this week. Mm-hmm. And it was just really about the notion of like ghosting in our generation, because it's become very, very common and a lot of people do it and people think that it is an acceptable thing to do. And I couldn't disagree more. I hear the comment a lot of the time, you know, well, I don't owe them anything. I barely know them. I think we owe human beings everything. We owe human beings respect. We owe human beings decency. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe you haven't known this person for very long, right? But it takes just as much effort to send a quick message and say, hey, I'm not feeling it anymore. Or, hey, you know, I like someone else, or whatever the case may be, than to just fall off of the face of planet Earth, and never say anything again. Cause then you leave this person here wondering like, what the heck is happening? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you alive? What happened? And then this person starts to, a lot of the time, right, they start to question themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're like, did I do something wrong? And am I not worthy enough? You know, what happened? So all this to say that this article kind of unpacks that a little bit. So I'm shameless plug if you guys want to go read it, you can check it out. But be sure to stick around for the rest of the day. We have some great shows coming up. But before I leave you, we're actually going to end the episode today with a song that I think perfectly encapsulates everything that we spoke about here today. It's called Live More and Love More by The Cat Burns. She's a UK artist and she's relatively new to the scene in the last couple of years. So I feel like a lot of her songs actually go unnoticed. But not today. We're going to listen to one of them. And I really hope that you guys listen to the lyrics as we're going through this, because they're beautiful and they just really talk about like loving yourself and loving life and putting yourself first, which is, I think, everything that we kind of laid out here today. So without that being said, we're going to jump into Live More and Love More by Cat Burns. And I will see you guys next Sunday at 3 p.m. on CJLO 1690 AM.
Since I've gotten older, I've realized we all care about things that don't really matter. We're just told it does, and now we're all trying to keep our heads above the water. But what if we don't wanna? If there's something you wanna do, just do it. Don't let your head stop your heart from moving. If there's someone you wanna talk to, and who knows who we'd be if we just live more and love more. We all just need to live more and love more. When we're not here anymore, it all comes down to who we were and what we stood for, not what we had and not where we live. So when we're told it does, maybe then we'll see. We don't just have to keep our heads above the water. Not if we don't wanna. If there's something you wanna do, just
kids, tell them you love them, have some heart, but make sure it's open. Take that risk, cause time gets stolen. Maybe speak, yes, and listen more. Cause life's too short.